And good morning, basketball fans, and welcome to the Upstate Hoops Podcast on FingerLakes1.tv. I'm Jim Sinacropi, joined by my co-host Matt Verkey with another big show on tap. We'll recap all the week's action, including the 2-0 league starts from Naples, Dundee, North Rose, Wolkhead, and East Rochester. We'll also look back at some big games and some big games on tap this week in the Finger Lakes East especially. We'll give you our players of the week, or we'll reveal our updated FL1 Sports Wayne Finger Lakes Power Rankings and Girls Super 6. All that and more this week on the Upstate Hoops Podcast. Verk, welcome back in studio. How you doing?
Good. Good morning.
It was fun to see some basketball this week, full slate of games. Wayne County, Finger Lakes West kind of really in full swing. Finger Lakes getting into the swing this week. But the one thing that I kind of took away as our lead topic would be that, you know, Naples is off to a 4-0 start, 2-0 in league. They've extended their regular season winning streak now to 25 games, kind of reminiscent of Minders a few years ago when they were in the West, and then for 1 year in the East, they had a really long league winning streak. So Naples won 25 straight regular season games, their last loss coming back on January 20th, 2014, when they lost to Bloomfield. And over that stretch, Mick Selder's Big Green Machine is 26-1, the only loss coming to RCMCS in last year's Class C3 semifinals. The biggest of the wins for Naples this week came on Wednesday night at home against Marcus Whitman, where they won 61-51 against a team that we had ranked higher than them in the power rankings last week, and gives Naples an early inside track on the back-to-back Finger Lakes West titles. So how about the Big Green?
I think coming into the season, we didn't know what to expect from them with the losses they suffered. Losing three or four starters off a great team. That RCMCS game that they lost was a great high school basketball game that, you know, Naples very, very well could have won and advanced on. And but, you know, obviously Coach Nick Salter's done it again. He's got this team rolling. I thought Whitman was going to be one of the better teams in the West this year, given that, you know, they're a B school playing mostly all C and D schools, and they had a pretty good record last year in the West. But, Naples handled them by 10 points. So, yeah, early on I would think this gives Naples definitely puts them as the front runner in the West, and, I look for continued success from the Naples Big Green.
Yeah, they lose Isaiah Tilley. They lost Garrett Hoyt, Jason Pulver, off of obviously a very good team. But guys have stepped up. Zach Dormer, kind of the first time I really noticed Zach Dormer was during that RCMCS game. He played pretty well. We had 26 against Whitman, 17 versus Jasper Troopsburg. Conrad Rathbun, another guy with 18 points. And then we knew Andrew Fleischman could shoot it. He had 25 points against HAC on Friday. And then Jake Chapman, 18 points versus Jasper, 15 points versus HAC. So, you know, Naples looks to have rebounded from the graduations last year. And with that win over Whitman, I don't think anybody's going to touch him in the West. So,
yeah, you know, it's still early. You know, there's some other decent teams out there. So we'll see how it all plays out. But definitely a front runner.
And maybe one of the teams that could challenge him is Dundee. Les Miller's squad's also off to a 2-0 start. They beat Bloomfield on Wednesday and got a 10-point win at the Jack Guinan gym against South Seneca on Friday night. So that'll be a marquee matchup when those two teams meet. So good job, Naples, off to a great start. The Upstate Hoops Podcast and all our coverage of Wayne Finger Lakes High School basketball is brought to you thanks to the support from Generations Bank, with locations in Auburn, Farmington, Geneva, Phelps, Seneca Falls, Union Springs, and Waterloo. Check out their mobile banking app and visit them online at mygenbank.com. And by FLCC, thinking about life after high school? Get your degree at Finger Lakes Community College. And, of course, by Dr. Rod Littlejohn, delivering over 30 years of smiles with style. So let's kind of, now that we're into the season and we got our format set for the show, first thing we're going to do almost every week is kind of rewind the action league by league. And let's start it off with the Finger Lakes East, where on, I think it went back to Monday, the only league game so far played in the Finger Lakes East was Waterloo and Penn Yan. And Penn Yan came away with a 58-56 win. led by Sean Emerson's 22. John McKay had 12. Dylan Stape had 12. For Waterloo, Big Ben Deming 17 points, Dikembe Ayer 16, and Nick Stenberg 15. Let's talk about that one just a little bit, Virk. You know, we thought that Waterloo might be able to contend for the title. We thought that Penyan would be good, but really these were two of the teams we had bunched in the middle of our projected standings. And Waterloo goes down to Penyan, only loses by two, but a big early season win for the Mustangs.
Yeah, that's a good early season test for both of those schools. You know, and I think they're going to be in every game this year in the East. You know, both schools have some very talented players. You know, Waterloo has a lot of experience on that team. They got 2-3 kids who've been on varsity since freshman, sophomore year. So this is kind of the year that they've kind of been targeting to make some noise in the Finger Lakes East. And, you know, Penyan's always got a bunch of tough kids. They were tough last year, and they brought 2 or 3 of those guys back and mixed them with some JV players and some of the kids from the bench last year. And, you know, I look for Penyan to be, you know, right there with Waterloo. And, you know, either one of those schools could be at anybody in the East, I think, on any given night. And, you know, they could obviously also lose to any schools. I think, you know, I think that's what we're going to see in the East this year is a lot of you know, it's still shaking out. You know, Palmyra might be maybe the favorite in that now after they're showing in that tournament. You know, it's tough to judge. You know, Minders, Newark, I think those would be my top three, I would have to guess. And, you know, after that, there's a bunch of schools right, you know, right behind those, right behind them.
Right down to the bottom of the standings this year. I don't think there's anybody's getting a night off in the East. Speaking of Minders, they're number one in our power rankings this week. They got a pretty big win against a real athletic early college team in Seneca Falls on Tuesday night, or maybe it was Monday. 42-40. Jake Mean hits a shot at the buzzer. They're only points of the fourth quarter.
You were there, so Miners entered the fourth quarter ahead 40-30, and they won 42-40. Probably not how you want to close out a game, but you know, that's a good test for Miners. You know, they're playing an athletic team, maybe a team like, you know, they might see in sectionals in like a RCMCS. You know, early college, you know, from talking to you and everybody, had some really good athletes. And that's a good challenge for Miners. Obviously, I don't think they played as crisply as they would have liked to. But, you know, still to come out with a win. You know, Jake Main, give him credit. He was able to get that final bucket in, and Miners came away with a win.
And it was the type of thing where you're really happy to win, but you look at it and you make a buzzer beater for your only points in the fourth quarter. And Jake Jones with a school record 8 3-pointers, most 6 of them coming in the first half. So that you have to wonder if it was another night when maybe Jake Jones wasn't shooting so good.
Hats off to Jake. You know, that's a, you know, great game for him, and it's got to give him some
That's
confidence.
Something you never did, 8 threes in one game.
No, not even close. I think he had 6 a couple times.
So when you scored, what was it, 63 against Mid-Lakes?
60.
60 against Mid-Lakes, you had only had six threes?
Yeah. A lot of layups, a lot of steals, breakaways and layups. You know, and I was, you know, 6'4 in high school, so I scored a lot inside and driving to the basket and stuff. And I don't, we shot a lot of threes in, but today's game they shoot a lot more. It seems like, you know, it's very three oriented lately, and our team shot a ton. So, but that's a, you know, that's a good win for Minders, and, you know, congratulations to Jake Jones. That's a great game for him, and you know, he's going to have to be a key factor for Minders going forward in that rotation.
And I, you know, for a while there, I thought like Jake might make 20 threes the way he was shooting, but I think that kind of you know, you come out and you don't really expect to be that hot, and then after maybe 5 or 6 of them, you start thinking about it. You know, you start adding them up maybe, and you just got to let it flow, baby.
That's right.
Some other results in the East. Mid-Lakes beat Bath Haverling 52-37. Sophomore point guard Bryce Burry had 20 points. Mid-Lakes 2-0, good for them. Minders got another win this week against Rochester Academy, CS 64-34. Jake Mean had 18 points, 11 rebounds in that one. RCMCS and Pelmac was a game that we were looking at, excited to see the results, and it was no contest. Pelmac 76, RCMCS 55.
Yeah, kind of, you know, I think we had RCMCS targeted as, you know, everybody coming back, but looking at the box score, they're missing a couple kids from last year's team.
Yeah. Amos Williams, a big name they have back.
Yeah, he, you know, he's their best player. He's probably an all-grader, Rochester-type player. You know, that kind of bodes well for some of our local teams and Minders and North Rose who are in their class in sectionals if they're down a little bit this year, because, you know, they're going to be the horse coming back that, you know, everybody's kind of looking at in that B2 with North Rose and Minders. So maybe they are down a little bit, but I'm sure they'll be at the end of the year. They're, you know, they're going to have a good team. And, you know, Brandon Hawkins with a great game, 25 points, Damien Wright. You know, Paul Mack probably has the best backcourt, I would say, in the Finger Lakes East.
Yeah,
you know,
no doubt.
Those guys can shoot. They can get to the hole.
Guys like Hunter Vanderbilt and Holden Knorr as well.
Yeah, a lot of shooters, a lot of guards.
Yeah, it was really – I mean, the biggest takeaway for me this week, I think, was how impressive Paul Mack was. Another kind of – I don't know if it's a surprise. The Dave Baldwin Memorial Tournament in Victor – is something that we webcast and were at last year. We couldn't make it this year, but it's a really nice showcase of Finger Lakes East teams in Geneva, Newark, and Palmac against some Rochester teams. And Victor, of course, is always involved. And Newark took on Wilson Magnet and lost pretty handily, 77-62, a 15-point loss despite 7 three-pointers from Brian Sharp, who ended up with 31 points. And then also on the second round, Newark dropped a 12-point decision to Victor tournament host despite 11 from Taylor Clements and 10 from Jose Santel. So Newark starts their season 0-2, not in league, but, you know.
Yeah, you know, and they went out and challenged themselves early, you know, playing. I don't know a lot about Wilson. You know, we'll see how the season plays out. But, you know, Wilson handled them pretty good, and that's despite 31 from Brian Sharp.
Right.
You know, and I've been hearing a lot of good things about Newark from other coaches and stuff like that.
Me too. That's why I was a little surprised.
You know, they worked hard over the summer, and, you know, look out for these kids. Some of the role players are really going to step up this year, which, you know, I wouldn't put too much into this. You know, Wilson might be one of the better teams in Rochester for all we know. But a little alarming. And then in that, you know, Paul Mack played Wilson the 2 points. And, you know, Wilson really handled Newark pretty good. And then, you know, Victor's a team who – It just seems like they're good in every other sport but basketball every year. You know, they win state championships, lacrosse. They're good in
football,
baseball, and their basketball team always seems to be a little bit behind the rest of the sports.
Coach Downey's been working on it.
Yeah,
though.
You know, he'll do a great job there. And, you know, if anybody's going to do it, Coach Downey will. His dad was a legendary coach at a few different schools, mostly Livonia. They beat us in the 91 final in sectionals. Coach Downey's Livonia team did. But, you know, I'm sure he'll get that program righted. And, you know, they're in a tough league playing in Monroe County for Victor. And there's no gimmies in Monroe County. So good win for Victor. And, you know, hopefully Coach Downey, he's getting that program going in the right direction.
Also in the first day at the Baldwin tournament in Victor, Victor beat Geneva 51-41. Let's round out the stuff in Victor here. Geneva also lost to Livonia 63-51, so 0-2 for Brian Miller's Panthers, who, you know, they lost to North Rose. Now they lose these two games. I still don't feel – I feel like this is a Geneva team that could go either way. They could either, like, totally go in the tank and finish right at the bottom of the East, or they have the talent, you know, maybe to put it together and do well in league and even contend maybe for a league title. I really think this is a team that could go either way.
They played – Victor and Livonia in that tournament?
Yes.
Okay.
Yep.
Yeah, so, you know, they start off North Rose Wolcott, Victor, Livonia. You know, no easy games there. And, you know, Rick Allen's a kid. Isn't he one of the guards you saw that play last year?
One of the best shooters I've ever seen.
Who's a good player. So, you know, and, you know, Geneva's biggest problem looking at their scores, they don't score. You know, they're getting 50, 55 points a game. You know, they're going to be – they got good athletes. They play hard. They're a defensive-minded team. They just need some guys to put the ball in the basket. And, you know, Coach Miller will get that figured out, I'm sure. And, you know, and the things don't really get any easier for him with Minders coming up Wednesday. So
yeah, we'll be there.
They're starting the game, starting the season with four tough ones.
All right, rounding out the action in the East this week, we had, let's see here, where do we leave off? Oh, Penn Yan picked up a win against Bath Haverlink, 64-26. Dillon Stape had 20 points, 18 in the second half. The Wayne Eagles with a nice little win over a World of Inquiry, 59-42. Breeden Zenilovic had 18 points there. And yeah, that's all the action in the East. Take a quick look here at the standings in the East. And only one league game, so Penn Yan in first for now, Waterloo in last, everybody else tied in the middle. Next week when we look at the standings in the East, it'll shake out a lot different with a lot of big games coming up that we'll get to near the end of the show. So let's move ahead to the Finger Lakes West, where there was a ton of action. We had Honeyoy defeating Destiny Christian 74-49. Jake Saladay had 16 points. Naples beat Jasper Troutsburg 64-50. Dundee over Bloomfield in a pretty big early game for a couple teams in the West that are looking to finish in the top 2-3, maybe contend. Dundee 55-49, Ryan Sprague had 19, Jordan Conyers had 9. For Bloomfield, Hayden Ward had 19. That loss dropped Bloomfield to 0-3. Honeyoy then beat AJC 52-38, behind 15 from Jake Soliday. And then in the big game that we talked about earlier, Naples 61, Marcus Whitman 51. I should mention for Whitman, Jay Donovan had 23 points. I believe he's a freshman.
Yeah, I think I saw that as well.
Played last year in the – got brought up for sectionals as an eighth grader. So, you know, pretty impressive. There's a lot of young guys in the league, and we'll talk about one of our favorites when we get to Wayne County. Red Jacket beat Romulus 67-35 behind 12 points from Munn, 11 points from Amos. Kyle Bennett had 10 for Romulus. Naples beat HAC, as we mentioned earlier, 66-46. That one, Jake Fleischman had 25, and Jake Chapman had 15. For HAC, it was Evan Weaver with 10 points, 11 rebounds, and Jamar Paisley with 9 points, 9 assists. Whitman takes on Romulus in Whitman, 64-38. The Wildcats win. With that game, that we had Gavin Mikomiski, the power forward, 7 points, 11 rebounds, 5 assists, 5 blocks. Not bad. And Donovan there had 13 in that one. Bloomfield beat Honeyoy. A little rivalry game there. Wyatt Conklin had 25 points. Cole Loomis for Honeyoy had 16 points, 8 rebounds. John Marble with 13. So that was a 57-52 win for Bloomfield. And then Dundee moved to 2-0. On Friday night with a win over South Seneca, 51-41. Lincoln Beckman Lowe had 12 points for South Seneca, and for Dundee, Ryan Sprague had 16. Bobby Strait had 11. So, Burke, let's take a look here at the standings in the Finger Lakes West, where there actually has been quite a few league games so far. And we have Naples up top, tied with Dundee. Followed by Red Jacket with that one win over Romulus. And then a big logjam in the middle of the league standings with Bloomfield, Whitman, Honeyoy. And then you got South Seneca at 0-1, HAC and Romulus at 0-2. So, you know, looking at these standings, you know, I still think Whitman will play a role. I think they'll get back in there to the mix with Naples and Dundee. But that Naples-Dundee matchups are going to be big. And I think Bloomfield's a lot better than people are getting credit for. And Honeyoy also... looks to be improved, even though they're they got them at 2-1 out of league, 1-1 in league. So the West pretty interesting this year, but I'm gonna find it hard for anybody to challenge Naples. Maybe Dundee.
Yeah, I think early on, you know, Naples definitely, you know, off to a 2-0, 4-0 start. Obviously, an early favorite here. We really didn't know much about that league coming into how it all shake out, where everybody'd be, but. If there's some early games, I think Naples is definitely going to, you know, have a good chance to win that league.
So then move it over to Wayne County, where early off, kicking off the week out of the league, it was Red Creek defeating Cato Meridian 74-43. Nick Klein with 18 points, 10 rebounds, 5 assists, and 4 steals. Not bad. Willie Meyer, 29 points, 11 rebounds. Gananda beat Marion 77-39. Kyle Lombardozzi had 25 points for Gananda. North Rose Wolcott all over Clyde, 72-53. Elijah Durham had 14 points. Luke Gerstner, 18. Tyler Norris, 19. Garrett Hoyt, 14 points, 21 rebounds in that game. And, you know, Clyde North Rose over the past several years, Clyde's really, you know, dominated that. That kind of is a rivalry. They're neighbors.
Sure. Last year, Clyde beat them last year, and it caused them probably to lose the Wayne County Championship because it gave them 3 losses. The big guy for North Rose didn't play, and, you know, Clyde was able to upset them. So, North Rose got a little revenge this year.
And then we moved down to a game that you called with Dave Barnick. Red Creek defeating Lions 54-51 in the Atwood. First time I think Red Creek's beaten Lions in about 7 years. Matter of fact, last year Red Creek won the title, but they did lose to Lions twice. And Red Creek outscored Lions 25-16 in the fourth quarter. Nick Klein had 19 points. Willie Meyer had 12 for Lions. Devin Franklin had 14. And Justice Smith, Burke, had 21. And Lions was also in action later this week against East Rochester in the Atwood. And ER pulled out a two-point victory, 59-57. Anna Van Buskirk got stripped of the ball late. East Rochester scores in transition. Keith Butler had 20. Ty Jones had 14. And for Lions, Devin Franklin had 16. Justice Smith with 14, including 9 of 10 free throws. And let's just take a second here and talk about Justice Smith. Freshman point guard who doesn't look like a freshman. He's one of the most composed players you'll see in any age group in high school. He's got the rec specs on. He's about 6'2". Would you say 6'1", 6'2"?
Yeah, 6'1", 6'2".
And, you know, really under control, smart decisions. One time in that Red Creek game, they were trying to come back late, and Justice Smith had a chance to shoot a three, and he decided against it and drove in and took the easy two, and then the Lions put the press back on. Ended up being quite a finish on FL1 Sports. And, you know, I just can't believe this kid's composure and his confidence. You know, what was your impressions of Justice Smith after seeing a couple games?
Yeah, you know, he obviously has the ability, and you know, the biggest thing to me is this year he's done a really good job of keeping his composure. You know, even in Red Creek when things started to go bad for Lions, you know, he kept his head and really made some smart plays down the stretch, like you said. And you know, he's going to be around for the next 4 years. He's going to be a great player in that league. You know, he handles the ball well. And the thing to me that stands out is he gets by people. He doesn't seem like he's that quick, but he can get by people. He's got a great handle. You know, he's an adequate shooter. He can shoot the three, knock down a couple threes. And he really doesn't force it too much. He takes what the defense gives him. He's a willing passer. You know, if somebody's open, they're going to get the ball. You know, so Zach Young's got to feel pretty good about the point guard position for the next 4 years for the Lions.
Yeah, and as we love, we always love David Hunter, obviously. Exciting, interesting, great player that we got to watch for so many years when he broke out as a sophomore in the sectionals at the Blue Cross. But this kid, you know, he's just getting started. I can't even imagine what it's going to be like watching Justice Smith over the next 4 years or how good he can be. And I know that Lions has a lot of young talent in their program. So it's definitely exciting to see a young kid like Justice Smith get off to such a great start to his career. Also in Wayne County this week, ER beat Williamson, 88-55. Keith Butler had 23 in that one. Chavis Gaines had 18. Casey Mike Michelle had 18. And Calvin McDermott had 10. Sotis lost to World of Inquiry, 42-30. You mentioned East Rochester beat Lions. North Rose Woolkit beat Red Creek. Red Creek, after beating Lions, heads host North Rose Woolkit in a huge, huge early season game for both teams. Red Creek suffering a lot of losses last year in Griffin Klein and, of course, Jake Slobe. But this was a test for them. A big win for North Rose. Tyler Norris had 21. Garrett Hoyt had 10. Nick Klein had 15 for Red Creek. William Myers, 11 points, 12 rebounds. Williamson beat Sotis 51-44, which moved Williamson to 1-1. Jack Diefendorf had 14. Nigel Cobb had 14 for Sotis. Andrew Hines had 14 as well. And then the very next night, Williamson beat Cato out of Section 3, 48-36. To go to 2-1. So Williamson coming back a little bit on the rise maybe. Clyde Savannah 74, Gananda 39 was a little bit of a surprising outcome last night, Saturday night. The Golden Eagles off to a little bit of a rough start with a tough schedule, but Gananda no pushover, but they rolled right over him. Clyde made 10 threes. Derek Chance had 18 points. Nathan Paddock had 13. Jarrett Murray had 11. And Drew Carnevale had 10. Enrique Mosman had 22 to lead the Blue Panthers. And so let's take a look at the standings in Wayne County. I can get them up here. And there you see it. East Rochester, I wouldn't say it's a surprise. We just didn't know exactly what to expect. I think they're without Theron Jones, one of their top players we expected to play a role this year, but he's not on the squad. So, you know, East Rochester, 2-0 start. And the other thing, we knew North Rose was going to be the class of the Wayne County this year. Nice to see Red Creek have a good team. They'll contend. Clyde also in a bit of a rebuilding process still, but big win over Gananda. But the surprise is Lions at 0-2. You know, it's just not something you usually see, Burke.
They played two teams that are going to be towards the top of the league, I think, in ER and Red Creek. Yeah. I'm sure Coach Young would have liked to get that Red Creek win at home. It was a tough game and really an odd game in that, you know, it was kind of seesaw game. Then Lions took a big lead. You're kind of like, oh, this is over. Then all of a sudden, yeah. You know, Red Creek goes on an 18-2 run and kind of took control of that game. But, I think Wayne County, clearly North Rose is the cream of the crop there. I think they have a good chance to go undefeated in Wayne County. Then you throw in, you know, ER, Clyde Lions are probably all mixed in together, Red Creek. And then I think the bottom of this league is kind of weak. And when you look at a Marion, Sodas, I think the Williamson, even looks like Gananda's down this year. So I think there's a couple different tiers in this league. But, the top four or five teams are going to be competitive with each other. And then, I think the bottom teams are kind of rebuilding again this year.
Yeah, and I don't see Lions staying there at the bottom half. I think they'll work their way back in when they play some of the lesser teams in the league. And you know, I also think that they can play with any team in that league, including North Rose. It's just a lot of change on that roster this year. And, again, we'll say it again, Justice Smith, good place to start for Lions. So that kid's really great. If you get a chance to watch them, I think the next time we have Lions is in a couple of weeks. They're hosting North Rose Woolkit. So you might want to watch that webcast. Or if you want to check out Justice Smith, you can watch the replay of the Mid-Lakes game, Lions-Mid-Lakes at the Chiropractic College or Red Creek Lions last Tuesday in the Atwood, both available at fingerlakes1.tv or our YouTube channel at fingerlakes1.com. So, Virk, for the first time this year, it's time to unveil our Players of the Week. We each pick one. And, you know, I guess I'll let you go first, Virk. I'll let you have your pick of the whole league for Player of the Week.
I'll go with Brandon Hawkins, 25 versus RCMCS and 27 versus Wilson. Two very, teams that are supposed to be good this year, RCMCS and Wilson. And he stepped up to the task and put up some numbers and got some victories for Palmac and had a nice showing against Wilson.
Yeah, and the thing with Hawkins is, when we talked about Palmac and we did our preseason players of the year, we had Damian Wright up there. You know, we knew Hawkins was a good player, but it looks like he's really ready to have a breakout type of year. And if he can continue to score that way, nobody's as good as Palmac in the East, I think.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see how it all plays out with their, they got three or four guards. If they can get some rebounding, they're going to be tough.
My player of the week, I thought about Jake Jones. He had 8 three-pointers, but then he didn't follow it up with a great game the next time around Thursday night. And then Willie Meyer, I thought about for Red Creek. He had 29-11, but it was against Cato. Didn't have a great game against Lions. And then they lost to North Rose. So I ended up going with Keith Butler from East Rochester, 23 points in the win over Williamson, and then 20 points in the win over Lions. And I think, you'll be seeing those 20-point games coming from Butler all season long in Wayne County. So there you go, Burke. Brandon Hawkins of Palmac, Keith Butler of East Rochester, this week's Upstate Hoops podcast, Wayne Finger Lakes Players of the Week. Well, we promised that we would unveil our Girls Super 6 rankings this week, and we don't break promises around here at the Upstate Hoops podcast, usually. Usually we don't. So let's get it right up there, Virk. There's our inaugural Girls Super 6. And, the first thing that some people might say is, I'll read down through them first. We got Palmac at 6, Geneva at 5, Mid-Lakes at 4, Newark at 3, Wayne at 2, and Minders at 1. And some people say, well, geez, Minders lost twice this week. But it was to Bishop Kearney and West Hill, two of the better girls teams in New York State. And Kearney up a classification, West Hill not in Minders' class. So Minders has a lot coming back. They lose Cassie Rattray, but mm-hmm. that program is stacked top to bottom. you know, with great players starting first and foremost, Burke, with Heidi Miller.
Yeah, obviously losing Rattray is a big loss for them. She did a little bit of everything, and they're trying to replace her by committee. I think Coach Anderson was pretty happy with the way they played against Bishop Kearney, Friday night against West Hill. They didn't play too great from what I heard. But like you said, it's good competition, good way to start the season off. And, you know, now they go to Geneva, who's going to be right up there with them for the Finger Lakes East this year.
Geneva has some big losses of their own.
Sure. A lot of talent left that league last year. They had a couple girls, the girl from Palmac who scored.
Ashley Vanderwell, she's out.
Yeah, she's playing Division II ball. You know, there's a lot of good players in that league last year. Wayne lost a couple good girls as well. A lot of good returning talent too, but – you know, for the first time in a while, Minders, I think, is going to be able to compete in that league because, you know, even though they've done so well in sectionals, they've kind of taken some big lumps during the league, you know. I don't think they've been above 500. They might have been right around 500 last year in the league, and the year before they only won two or three league games. So, you know, it's a thing. Minders has gotten a lot better. The league's come down a little bit. And, Minders has a great place to start in Heidi Miller. She girls, 20-10 pretty much on a regular basis. I would expect out of her.
Get some good upperclassmen leadership, Divya Tiwari, Madison Hillmeyer.
Sure. The main girl, she's another big girl. Yeah. Who, you know, they got two tall, athletic girls inside. I can't imagine anybody else in the East going to be able to match up with both those girls. But it'll be interesting to see. You know, Wednesday night will be a good test for, Coach Collins always does a great job with his Geneva girls. And, Minders is getting right into league with a big challenge.
And I can't wait to see on Tuesday night. Is it Tuesday? No, Wednesday night will be Dave Barnick and Kevin Korzeneski will be in Geneva for Varsity Night doubleheader, girls, boys doubleheader, Minders versus Geneva. Should be a couple of great games, and it'll be our first look at a couple of girls' teams this year. So we're excited about that. The girls' game tips off at 6, and the boys shortly following. So there's a girls' Super 6. Now it's time for our updated power rankings on the boys' side, and we finally had some serious results where we can start to put this thing together. And let me just get this thing up here instead of revealing them one by one. Let's just get this up here for everybody to see. This week's power rankings features Minders still at 1, so we got Minders 1 of the girls and the boys.
Well, hometown cooking.
Yeah, it could be. But, honestly, great win by Minders against Early College. And while they still haven't really put it together, everything from the rotation to, the victories, like, looking really good. Like, they snuck by Clyde after kind of giving up a bit of a lead. And then they survived Early College. And then they beat a team I don't know anything about, Rochester Academy.
They weren't very good. Yeah.
They're sitting there at 1 still with, league play on the horizon. Palmac at 2, and this was a thing where this was very close this week. Palmac gained ground on Minders because even in a loss to Wilson, but the competition that Palmac played, they were impressive. And then North Rose kind of sitting steady at number 3. The big question is the best team in Waynes County? How do they compete with the best team in the East or the West? And, we tend to give the edge to the East historically, but, North Rose did beat Geneva pretty handily, but as you'll see, Geneva dropped right out of the top 10 this week with a couple of losses. Newark at 4 still, they stay at 4. 2 losses, no, not league. And Newark, I guess, is like you said, Virk, we heard about they're not going to lose much. They lost Tyler Collins and Shamar Logans, Mitchell DeWolf, another guy. But we kept hearing, they're going to be fine. They're back. And, I do believe that's true, but I'm maybe not quite there yet. I would have liked to see him maybe come out of Victor with 1 win, 1 or 2 wins maybe.
Yeah, I mean, losing Collins and Logans is, two huge losses. Collins is doing very well in college, and those are tough kids to replace. Newark has a great program, and, they're going to be towards the top of the league this year, no doubt about it.
And then Penn Yan jumps right up to number 5 with their win over Waterloo, and just a strong, balanced team. I did see a tweet from Austin Finger who said he played his last varsity basketball game. Don't know what that's about, but I know he's a really good lacrosse player. So, maybe that has something to do with it, that he's going to be you know, focusing on lacrosse because he might play that at the next level. But that's a kind of a big loss for Penn Yan. But Sean Emerson's, you know, is kind of their leader and just a deep team of athletes. So Penn Yan's at 5 right now, and we'll see how they do over the next few weeks. Naples jumps up to 6. Despite the good start, I still don't think they're quite as good as last year's team, which I think got up as high as 3 in our rankings at one point. Pretty high for a Finger Lakes West team. So they're at 6. Mid Lakes, kind of a shocker. Now up to 7 with another couple wins. Again, I seem to think that they are just as good as most of the Finger Lakes East, except for maybe the top 2 or 3, but you know, maybe they could compete. They got a really balanced team with a sophomore, Bryce Burry, at point. Kenny DeVay, senior leader, big man who can distribute the ball very well, too. Justin Hoover impressed me defensively and on the boards for Mid Lakes. And, of course, Darren Carswell coming over for Lions, grabbing 15 rebounds in their opener. You know, Pete Zirkus' Mid Lakes team, you know, maybe we're even underestimating them still at 7. I can't wait to see him play a few more games.
I think they're right in there. You know, I don't think they're going to be towards, you know, I think they're going to struggle with some of the better teams in the East, but they could beat any team in the East as well. You know, I think they're going to be middle of the pack in Finger Lakes East this year, but much improved from last year.
And then Waterloo drops to 8 after that 2-point loss at Penn Yan. Kind of a tough way to start, but you know, they'll have some big games coming up, and we've talked many times about the talent on that roster and just working on the chemistry, and with a new coach taking over, Paul Dinan taking over for Jeff Panik.
Kevin Dinan.
That's a you know, bit of a shakeup there. We'll see if they can pull it together as they head into the meat of the league schedule. And ER at 9 might be way underrated. They have shown us nothing otherwise this year. Look forward to seeing them play a few more games and see if they truly are going to be a challenge to North Rose up top of the Wayne County League. And then Les Miller's Dundee Scots slide in at number 10 at 2-0. So there you go, Virk, our week 2 Wayne Finger Lakes power rankings. Dundee, East Rochester, Waterloo, Mid Lakes, Naples, Penn Yan, Newark, North Rose, Wolcott, Palmac, and number 1 now for the third straight week, if you count our preseason rankings, is the Minders Academy Blue Devils, your alma mater, my alma mater. So let's take a quick look at the week ahead before we head out here on a Sunday morning. What do you think about the Sunday morning podcast? I kind of like it. We were Sunday night last year.
Yeah, it's, you know, it's wake up and come to a podcast. And
have the whole rest of the day.
Sure.
Watch football or
hang out.
You do whatever.
Watch Homeland tonight at 9.
Is it a season premiere or something?
It's no, it's there's 3 shows left in the season. So that's my favorite show going, and look forward to it every Sunday.
Big Homeland fan. Yeah, well, you don't have to tape it now because we're doing a podcast on Sunday night. Although I should mention, I'll be back here tonight at 9 o'clock for the Upstate Orange podcast, where we'll talk about a pretty interesting week in Syracuse basketball. They lose to Wisconsin. And then at Georgetown with Mike Hopkins coaching, it's just like it's everything's kind of weird there. But, you know, we'll talk about that tonight. Right now, let's focus on the week ahead in the Wayne Finger Lakes leagues. Monday night, we have 3 games, Gananda at Williamson, Hannibal out of Section 3 at Sotus, and then RCMCS at North Rose Wolcott. That'll be an interesting one, although RCMCS has definitely not lived up to kind of the what we thought they'd be. We thought they'd be really tough tests so far, and everybody's handling them.
Yeah, I think they're still a dangerous team, but, you know, they got a couple early season losses, Paul McAllen by 20. So I'm sure Coach Hoyt has you know, I like North Rose to win that game, but I wouldn't be shocked if that game's closer, even if RCMCS was able to win that game.
Tuesday night, you got Palmac at Wayne. You got Penn Yan at Newark, and that's a game that will be live webcast on FL1 Sports beginning at 7:30. Brendan Harrington and Tani Robinson will have the call for that one. That very interesting given Newark's 0-2 start and Penn Yan beating Waterloo. Very interesting game. Hope you'll join us live for that one. Waterloo at Mid Lakes on Tuesday night also. And again, I'm really excited to see Mid Lakes continue to play and see, you know, how they do against these teams. That's a huge early season game for both of those teams. If Waterloo loses, they're 0-2. If Midlakes loses, they start off 0-1 in the league, and of course they finished last place the past several years in the East, so they don't want to start off the season right there. So let me ask you, Virk, about these three, about the Penn Yan Newark game and the Waterloo Midlakes. Give me your winners on Tuesday night.
I'll take Newark and Waterloo.
Okay, fair enough. And then we got some West action on Tuesday night. Bloomfield at HAC, Dundee at Red Jacket, Honeyoy at Romulus, and South Seneca at Marcus Whitman. Moving ahead to Wednesday night. Double back-to-back nights for the Finger Lakes One Sports team this week, as we'll be live webcasting that Minders at Geneva game at 7:30, along with the girls at 6. Actually, the boys will probably start a little later than that, but league play getting underway for both Minders and Geneva. And then we have some Wayne County action on Wednesday night. Gananda at North Rose Wolcott, Lions at Sotus, Red Creek at ER, which is a pretty good game there, and Williamson at Marion. And then on Thursday night, 4 Finger Lakes West games on tap, HAC at South Seneca, Marcus Whitman at Dundee, and that's a big one, and Naples at Romulus. And I don't mean to laugh, but Naples is going to win that game by 40.
Yep.
And Red Jacket at Honeyoy. And then on Friday night, full slate across Wayne County and the Finger Lakes East, Geneva at Pelmac, Midlakes at Penn Yan, Newark at Minders, 7:30, and I think we'll probably find a way to make it out to the gym for that one, even though we're not broadcasting it. Wayne at Waterloo, Clyde at Williamson, Gananda at Red Creek, Marion at Lions, and Sotus at East Rochester. I'm going to put you on the spot again, Virk. I want winners of Midlakes, Penn Yan, and Newark Minders.
Midlakes, Penn Yan. I'll take Midlakes. And Newark Minders was the other one you asked about?
Yeah, Newark at Minders.
I'll take Minders.
Yeah, that game might be a pick. Minders -2, let's say. And then Saturday night, December 12th, Waterloo at Greece Odyssey and South Seneca at Union Springs out of Section 4. And that wraps up a full week of action, which should answer a lot of questions for us. And so when we're back here next Sunday night with an updated power rankings and we run through things again, we'll have a lot to talk about. So, Virk, thanks for coming in on a Sunday morning. Happy holidays. And,
should be an interesting week, getting into, when you talk about, especially the Finger Lakes East really sticks out to me, like every game seems like a good game. You know what I mean? There's no, no game that's not really an interesting that shouldn't be close.
Because of the top half, there's no bottom half, it looks like, in the East.
Seems like, even the bottom teams in the East are, I think, the league winner in the East might have 2, 3, 4 losses this year. It could be that kind of league this year. I don't look for any team to do what Newark did last year, go undefeated in the league, and really didn't face too much competition. I think Minders finished second, and they blew the doors off them twice.
Closest game was a Waterloo game last year for Newark. Remember that one?
Yep.
So, should be a great week as we make our way towards Christmas here. 2 live webcasts on tap. Tuesday night, Penn Yan at Newark. Wednesday night, Varsity Night doubleheader. Geneva Minders, boys, girls in Geneva. We hope you'll join us for both of those games. And then, of course, we'll be back here most likely next Sunday morning. Check the front page of FingerLakes1.com for the time. We'll either go at 9, 10, maybe even 11 some weeks, and then occasionally Sunday nights this week. We're going to be flexible as our schedules with kids and everything. And Virk, you ever stop to think about what's going to happen when our girls are playing, JVs and varsity and basketball and, it's going to be different kind of covering these games?
Yeah, it'll might have to do some more girls coverage, obviously, so
we'd hear a lot of crap if we started covering the girls heavily when our kids were up there, because we're
gonna have to be at the games anyway, so
that's right, that's right. We'll probably have a little more knowledge by that time.
That's a few years away yet, also.
Yep. So we'll cross that bridge when we come to it. So I want to thank everybody for joining us for another edition of the Upstate Hoops Podcast on FingerLakes1.tv. Be sure to subscribe on YouTube, iTunes, and Stitcher.com. We'll see you here next Sunday. Check out the front page of FingerLakes1.com for our live webcast start time. So until then, For Matt Verkey, I'm Jim Sinicropi. Have a great week, and good luck out there, everybody.